Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Real good. Back for Sunday night again.
Yes. Good to be back with you.
And a whole week's gone by.
I know.
And I hope you've all been out doing the new evangelization all week.
Amen, brother.
I know we have been.
Trying to.
It's pretty tough going sometimes, but it's always exciting.
Well, you know, considering that Paul was like, you know, he got beaten and stoned and
dead. Yeah. I haven't had that yet.
I haven't had that happen. So.
I've had people roll their eyes at me and say, what a kook, but that's okay. That's better than getting stoned and beaten.
Yeah.
Anyway, we've been doing a series on the new evangelization, and I don't even know now how long it's been going on, but a long time. And last time we talked about encountering Christ, your heart transformed, you want to tell others about him, you want to give others the message of salvation because it's the only hope that they have to be saved from their problem. And we also have to keep in mind that a lot of people don't even know that they have a problem because, you know, because most people's life is going along, you know, kind of nice and everything's calm and they might have a really good job and they might have a really good income and they might have a really good house and they might have a really good car and a really great set of friends and things are going along pretty nicely. And if somebody would say to them, so what would you like to make you happy? They may say, well, I don't know. I'm pretty happy. And they don't realize that they have the actually not the equivalent of a terminal illness. It's even worse than a terminal illness.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you have a terminal illness and you die and you're saved, that's okay. If you have a terminal illness and you die and you're not saved, that's not okay.
Yeah.
No matter how good your life was here. And we have the cure for the disease. You know, we did a teaching about the bronze serpent. You know, the serpent was the cure for the disease. You know, if you had the cure, the disease didn't get you. We have the cure for the disease. We have the remedy. We have the antidote for the problem. And
exactly.
That's what the new evangelization is all about. And we talked about how we can't do it on our own power. When Jesus gave the Great Commission, he said, don't leave the city until the Spirit comes. Then you're going to be clothed with power from above. He said,
yeah.
You're going to be clothed with power. He didn't say like, hey, listen, you guys go out there and try to do the best you can. You know, I know you guys are going to have a tough time with this, but I'm sure if you work really hard and try hard, it's going to be okay, but just give it the best you can and let's go.
I'm leaving now. You guys are on your own. Do the best you can with it. Good luck.
Yeah. No. He said, you're going to be clothed with power from above, and then you're going to be my witnesses. And then you're going to go through Judea, through Samaria, to the ends of the earth, only after you've been clothed with power. And when they got this power, they went and told everybody. And they trusted, you know, you talk about Paul getting stoned and beaten and, you know, Peter didn't have a bed of roses either, but it's, you know, they did the mission because they were empowered by the Spirit. They had experienced Jesus on a literally firsthand basis, you know, like John writes in 1 John, we saw him, we heard him, we touched him. We have physical experience with him in the sense of we know he was real and we haven't had that physical experience, but we've had the spiritual experience.
Right.
And all of you that are listening probably have had that experience. And if you haven't, we'll talk about that sometime, but they went out and told everyone in, one of my favorite passages in Luke chapter 5, the put out into the deep and lower your nets. I think if you go to the website, you can, we did a radio show on that. I don't know. Might be a couple of years ago now. Might be more. I don't know, but they were fishing all night, didn't catch anything. They were cleaning their nets. They were tired. They were going to make something to eat and go to bed. Jesus says, put out into the deep and lower your nets.
Right.
And they did it. They trusted him. They said, well, if you tell us to do it, we'll do it. We're tired. He tells us, go out into the deep, lower your nets for a catch. We should do what they do. So because of their obedience, they get this great catch of fish to their nets are breaking, their boats are sinking, because they're following his word. They're following his instructions. They weren't planning to go back out themselves. Peter didn't say to those guys, well, now that we're done cleaning the nets, why don't we go back out and see what we can do? Mm-hmm. We didn't catch anything all night, but maybe if we go give it another try, we can't just, you know, we got to catch something.
Right.
They weren't planning to go back out.
They were exhausted.
Yeah, they were exhausted. They're like us. Mm-hmm. We've been working all day. I don't feel like going to a Bible study. I don't feel like going to church. I don't feel like going to the prayer meeting. I don't feel like playing music at my home group. Oh, no, wait.
What?
I don't play music at my home group.
What?
Sometimes my iPad does.
But, oh, my goodness.
You know, they weren't planning to do anything.
Right.
Had they planned to go out, they probably wouldn't have caught anything. That Peter said, okay, you guys, let's give it one more shot.
Yeah.
But Jesus directed them, and they had this great catch of fish.
Yeah.
It's not up to them. It was up to him.
I mean, think about human nature. You know, you're with a group of people and you've been working all day and, you know, you're out on the boat, you're out on the lake and you haven't caught any fish. And then the leader goes, come on, let's try one more time.
Yeah.
Oh, come on. We haven't caught anything all day. What do you know, we're tired. We want to go home.
Yeah.
That's human. I mean, that's
sure.
What we would do.
Of course.
Any one of us would do that.
Yes.
But at Jesus's command, they respond to it. And that's the essence of really what we're talking about, is responding to the movement of God, responding to the movement of the Holy Spirit,
yeah,
and allowing God to use you as a vessel,
yes,
as an instrument of his love, his mercy, and his grace to touch another person and to evangelize them, to share with them the good news that their sins are forgiven in the name of Jesus and that they have eternal life because of that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and that's it.
Yeah.
But if I'm to say, oh, you know, Lord, I'm really tired. I'm not going to go. I've just blocked the grace of God.
That's right. And that's a natural thing to do.
It's a natural thing to do. We, you know, and it's a disciplinary step, really. There, you know, there's formation, you know, in anything. There's formation in anything where you learn to do things in a certain manner that, you know, they need to be done, because it's discipline. And to be a disciple, you have to discipline yourself to be like the master.
Yes, exactly.
And you have to deny. Okay, if I'm tired, Jesus says, deny your very self, take up your cross and follow me.
Yes.
If I'm tired, I have to willfully say, Lord, I'm tired, but I'm going to follow you.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't really feel like doing this, but I'm going to follow you.
Yeah.
And you know, what you were saying before is, I don't feel like going to the Bible study tonight. I'm tired. I feel like doing, I just want to rest.
Mm-hmm.
There's days where I feel like that.
Sure.
And I go, oh man. You know, there's evenings where coming to the radio show, I'm tired. It's like,
I don't want to go see Phil again.
Oh, I don't want to go into a conversation with Phil. Oh, jeez.
He'll just drone on.
Drone on and on about. No. But, and you know, I'm sure there's probably been times where you're tired.
Oh.
And you're like, oh, I'm
all
gonna,
the time.
But we get here and we start talking.
Yeah.
And the Lord leads us in the conversation. And we hope and pray that it is bearing good fruit.
Yeah. I always think I don't have enough notes.
Yes, that is true.
And I kind of go through this because, you know, when I'm at my office and I tell somebody, oh, you know, I got to get done because I got to go teach a Bible study in Sheffield or in Brecksville or in Avon or, you know, wherever it is. And I think, okay, well, I slept 3 hours. I've been running around here since 6 o'clock this morning, and it's now 6 o'clock at night.
Mm-hmm.
I'm tired. You know, I'd kind of like to go home and just kind of veg out, but no, I want to go teach the Bible study.
Yeah.
Because that's more important to me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we should gear ourselves. You know, in Luke 19, we did a radio show. I mean, Luke 9, we did a radio show about this too. You know, it shows you where your priority is.
Mm-hmm.
you know, well-meaning people say, hey, I'll come with you.
Right.
But, you know, first I got to go bury my father. First, I got to go back to the office and finish some paperwork. First, I got to take the kids to the baseball game.
Right.
First, I got to go do this. First, I got to go do that. I got to go cut my grass. I got to do the thing. So Jesus says, well, then you lose. You're not worthy to be my disciple. Now, why is he being so harsh? You know, he says, unless you hate your father and your mother, you can't be my disciple.
Right.
Now, does he want you to hate your father and your mother? No.
Right.
But he's making a point. If you said, well, I can't be your disciple because my father doesn't like the idea, you lose.
Mm-hmm.
If you, I'd like to be your disciple, but I got a lot of stuff I got to do at home.
Yeah.
So when the kids are grown, when I'm retired, when I have more money, when I have more, whatever it is, then I'll come and be your disciple. He says, well, then you lose.
Yeah.
Because you put your hand to the plow, you can't look back.
Yeah.
So there's well-meaning people who go to church, they pray, they read the scripture, and then say, I'd like to do more for the Lord, but I just don't have time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he can't expect me to do that because, you know, we have 58 swim meets this year and I can't miss any of them.
I was just here for 58 minutes. What more
does he want from me? What does he want? I mean, we have family, we have work, we have activities, you know, and these things, and there's nothing wrong with those things in themselves, but they can sidetrack you. And when people say, you know, people have kind of forgotten that following might be difficult.
Sacrifice.
Pick up your cross and follow me. He doesn't say, well, when you feel like it, if you'd like to come and see what I'm doing, you know, come on over.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, not if you're tired.
Check me out on Facebook when you get a chance.
Yeah. I mean, if you're tired or your son's got another softball game, I mean, go to that first. Then, you know, you want to come over. It's okay. Or, you know, if you got something really nice on TV that you want to watch, oh, by all means, do that first. You know, then think about me when the show's over. You know?
Yeah.
That's not discipleship. You know, the first guy in that Luke 9 passage says to him, I'll follow you. You know, this eager guy. He means well.
Right.
And he says, the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. What does that mean? You follow me, you may not have a place to lay your head.
Mm-hmm.
You may lose your job. You may lose your house. You may lose your money.
Mm-hmm.
You may not have whatever, a car. You may not have, you know, you may be living on rice and beans and water. You want to do, that's not necessarily, but it may come to that. I may call you to go to a place where that's all you're going to have. You want to do it?
Yeah. You know, as you're saying that, I think about like the vows that a husband and wife exchange at marriage, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health. You know, everybody wants the richer,
better
health part.
Yeah.
Nobody wants the poorer, worse,
or
sickness part.
Yes. Now that I'm
and
old,
yet,
now that I'm old and I've, coming up on being married 40 years, so I can give advice
to people.
You've
been married for 40 years?
Yeah, next week.
Wow, congratulations.
Thank you.
And I knew that.
Now that I know. You're coming to the party, aren't you?
I thought
so. Not all the listeners are invited to the party, though.
You're not?
No. Well, probably all four of them would come. But, the you know, when I meet these young people that are getting married, I tell them, you know, the wedding day is the easiest day of your marriage. It's after that the hard work comes.
Yeah. and you know, sadly, there's so much effort poured into that one day.
Oh, my goodness.
It becomes the most stressful. It could be the happiest day.
Tens of thousands of dollars.
It becomes the most stressful for most couples.
Yeah.
And they
plan for years.
they plan this one day for years, but they don't take years to plan the rest of it.
Yeah, exactly.
And the sacrifice that's going to come with that covenant that you just entered into.
Yeah.
You don't bow out of the covenant because you don't feel like it anymore.
That's right.
Or you lost some interest.
Excellent point.
You know, well, you know, I think it's time for a trade up.
Yeah.
That's not an option.
I'm tired of this relationship.
Yeah. I want a new, I want a new, I want a, I want a new and improved model.
I know we've only been at it 2 years, but it's not as fun as it used to be.
Yeah. And, you know, certainly you got to work at the relationship, but it doesn't mean at the first sign of trouble that you abandon ship.
Exactly.
Because that's just not the reality of life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we kind of live in a society where we think it's going to be this utopian, mm-hmm. euphoric, oh, everything's going to be great all the time. And that's just not a realistic aspect of how life actually is, because life is life.
That's right.
There's twists and turns to it. There's unexpected things that come up, and life can be very happy, mm-hmm. very joyful. Life can be, there can be mm-hmm. sadness, there can be sorrow, mm-hmm. you know, and it's all part of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was talking to a gentleman a couple weeks ago, and he was telling me about how there was somebody in his family that passed away, and he was crying about it, and, you know, he felt really ashamed of that. And mm-hmm. I said, you know, don't feel ashamed because you were crying. That's part of the emotions that God gave you.
Mm-hmm.
You are expressing those emotions because the emotion of love that God gave you, you actually used.
Mm-hmm.
You used, you know, you love this person. You miss this person. You're sad.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of life. And if you stuff that and think that you can't express that, you rob yourself of one of the gifts that God gave you to be fully human.
Mm.
And, you know, in that moment of saying that, he understood something that somebody told him like years ago about being able to feel free to express that emotion.
Mm. Yeah.
And it was like this freeing moment for him, you know, that I just, you know, somebody else watered the seed a long time ago, and it just seemed to, you know, be harvested at that moment. But, you know, how does all this connect into the new evangelization? Well,
oh, it all does.
I think in the context of how God made us,
mm-hmm.
we have to be willing to allow ourselves at times to be vulnerable, of emptying ourselves and allowing God to just work through us in a way that we couldn't work in and of ourselves.
Yeah, you have to come broken to the cross.
Right.
You can't come arrogantly to the cross saying, I got everything under control, but here I am.
I'm strong. I got it under control, Lord. Okay, here I am. Send me out.
Yeah.
Usually it doesn't happen that way.
And you bring up a good point, too, because the church is the bride of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there is a marital paradigm, a marital metaphor that goes through the scripture.
Very much so, yeah.
Yeah, and if you read the Song of Songs, which is my third favorite book. If you go to the website, I'm putting some audio teachings on, but I think I only have three or four of them there now, but the rest of them are coming. You know, it's a very intense relationship, and it is like a marriage, and there's times where the bride is down and kind of withdrawn, and there's time where the bride is happy and euphoric,
mm-hmm.
and we all go through these things, and discipleship is like that.
Right.
There's times where, well, we look at John 21 where, you know, Jesus and Peter have this thing about, do you love me? You know, and then finally Jesus says, okay, if you're going to come along, you're going to get taken where you don't want to go with people you don't want to be with, and bad things may happen to you. And they did happen to him
mm-hmm.
because now when you're my disciple, you're mine now. Your life is mine now. Your life is not planned out by you. You're not going to be Peter the fisherman anymore. You know, sitting around in Capernaum with, you know, Simon Peter's fish company, you know, stop in and buy. We got specials today. We're going to be
filet of flounder.
Yeah. We're going to set up a little seafood restaurant right next to the place. You're not going to be doing that anymore.
Right.
Because now you got a different occupation. And mm-hmm. some days there's going to be somebody who's going to come and tie your hands up and whip you.
Mm-hmm.
There may be other days where you're going to stand in front of 3,000 people and bring them to the gospel, and you're going to say, wow, this is awesome. The next day, there may be people ready to stone you.
Yeah.
There's no guarantee that everything is going to go great. Wow, we're coming on break already. This is an awesome song.
But this is a great song.
Remember, check out givetograceministries.org. We'll be right back.
Oh, Lord Almighty. True and righteous are all your ways, King of the ages. Who will not fear you, O Lord? Glorify your name. Behold the Lord. God is my salvation.
Listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220.
That's an awesome song. Who sings that?
Paul Wilbur.
Paul, where can I get that at?
WilburMinistries.com.
WilburMinistries.com?
Yes. And just order everything.
I want to order one of everything there?
Yes.
At WilburMinistries.com?
Yes. Okay. Now, that particular song is on Desert Rain.
Yes.
Which is an amazing CD.
Mm.
Recorded live in En Gedi in Israel.
In the desert.
In the desert. Wow. And it's beyond words.
Yeah.
Like all his CDs are.
It's good.
Oof. And anyway, we should have Paul on the show. He is going to be on the show shortly.
Yeah. Yeah, we got a surprise coming up.
Plus he's going to be here in October.
October, so
It's the second weekend of October, whatever the dates
are. Get to the gym, start working out, get in shape.
Yeah.
For dancing and banners and all those
stuff. Yeah, if you want to make a banner with a Star of David on it or a lion and a lamb, I mean, those are always good. yeah, but you got to be in shape.
Practice up on your shofar playing.
Yeah, got to be in shape. It's a workout.
Yes.
Yeah. Woof. It's a workout. It's all minor chords, though. Yeah. I don't get all that stuff, but... Paul Wilbur told me it wasn't important for me to know that, and I agree. It's important for Steve to know that. It's important for him to know that. But he said it's not important for me to know that, so it's fine.
It is important for me to know that. But
yeah, okay. So their discipleship is not a guarantee, and we're not going to pick on our prosperity teachers again because I'm getting kind of tired with that. But there's not a guarantee that discipleship is going to bring you riches and is going to bring you an easy life. In fact, Jesus pretty much says it isn't going to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in this life, you're going to have tribulation, but fear not, for I have overcome the world.
Mm-hmm.
And we see that over and over again in the scripture. And we see that passage with Peter and him about, do you love me? And Peter probably was pretty, you would think that Peter would be pretty sobered by that and think, wow, I wonder what he's telling me. You know, and as he's thinking about this, you know, he sees John out of the corner of his eye and says, well, what about him? You know, it's a, what about him? Because in our human nature, we don't want to just think about what we're doing in regard to discipleship and go, well, what's he doing over there? I'm doing all this stuff. What about him? And Jesus says, well, don't worry about him. Because I got different plans for him than I have for you.
Yeah.
You just worry about what your job is going to be. I'm paraphrasing, of course, but that's what he meant. And discipleship is difficult. We've made it a time of convenience in the sense that I'll go when I get a chance. This particular Sunday, I can't do anything. Because this, that, or the other thing. Whereas the true discipleship says, hey, you want me there Sunday morning at 10? I'll be there at 9:30 ready to go. You know, you want me to go to wherever it is Sunday afternoon at 3? I'm on my way.
Well, you know, if you think about how much of a witness it is if the, you know, I go and follow the Lord and I have stuff to do. And I say, you know, I say to either my wife or my family, you know, I want you to understand I love you, but I'm called to do this right mm-hmm. now. And I have to go and do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is what the Lord's calling me to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I come back and I spend time with my family after that.
Right.
That's a witness to them about
yes.
how much the Lord is important to me and how
yes.
important the Lord is, not only in my life, but for them as well, because following him and doing what he wants it's all about what evangelization is about.
Mm-hmm.
And how much of a testimony would it be that if, you know, one of the things that I think everybody struggles with is the amount of sporting events for children on Sundays. Early in the morning.
Oh, that's
baseball, soccer, badminton, whatever it is. If the parent would really say that their relationship with Jesus Christ is more important than that soccer match.
Yeah.
You have to talk to your children about that. Because they're going to want to go and play soccer, and if daddy takes that away from them, well, daddy's bad.
Mm-hmm.
Well, witnessing that Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life is much more important than kicking a ball around a field.
Yes. It's important for them to know that.
It's important for them to know
that. So when you say to your son, what you're doing is important to me, but this is more important,
mm-hmm.
and this is not a time where there should be a soccer game.
Right.
Anyway. When you have a soccer game on Thursday night, I'll be happy to be there. But Sunday morning is not a time we should be playing soccer.
Right. Sunday morning is the time that we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Right.
You know, and culturally in our world, everybody's bowed the knee to the coach.
Yeah.
Because if I'm not there, I'm off the team.
That's right. Yeah.
And what do? We bow the knee. Mm-hmm. All right. I'll give up my worship to play.
Yeah.
because I don't want yeah. you to, you know. And as a Christian, as a believer and a follower, I'll give to Caesar what is Caesar's, but I'm not going to give to that coach what is God's.
Amen. And we don't give to Caesar what is God's either.
Exactly.
Which is also going on in our culture now.
Exactly. You know, I'll support my community. I'll pay my taxes. But I'm going to give to God what God rightly deserves.
Yeah, I've had people say to me all the time when you talk about pro-life issues, and they'll say, well, abortion's the law. And I go, well, but that doesn't make it right.
Doesn't make it right.
That you're not going to give to Caesar what is God's. God's the author of life. He says, I create life. That at the moment of conception, that's a human being that I put a soul into. Whatever the government says doesn't change that.
Right.
And
right.
you don't say to God, you know, I used to believe what you say, but now it's the law. What am I supposed to do? Just like in Germany, it was the law that Jews were going to be killed.
Right.
Well, do you say, oh, well, what are you going to do? It's the law.
Yeah.
What could you do?
And people will say, well, but it's, you know, it's the law. You know, unrighteousness and unlawfulness is never right with God.
Exactly.
God is a God of righteousness.
Exactly.
And holiness.
Exactly.
And, you know, God doesn't condone the killing of innocent people. God doesn't condone the destruction of his kingdom.
The scripture is clear on that, the shedding of innocent blood.
Exactly. Scripture is very clear on that. So you can't bow the knee to a culture that's perverse.
Exactly.
You know, are you a, like we talked before, are you a reed that's swayed by the wind?
Yeah, perfect example.
Well, it's windy. I'm, you know, I don't want to break, so I'm just gonna go all the way over. I'll just lie down here until the wind passes because you know it's a little strong.
Or I know the word says this, and I know God, you know, I know God's law is this, but now that all these other people are doing that, and now that the government says it's all right, and now that they're going, well, you know, maybe I just. So then you go back and forth like the reed blowing in the wind. And instead of being on the rock, you're going every which way.
Exactly.
And every time a storm comes, you're going to collapse.
Exactly.
And we've been over that. And this is why it's so important to not only to be docile to the Spirit and be open, but to have your foundation in the rock. Because then you know. Like Hank Hanegraaff says, you should be so familiar with the truth that when a counterfeit looms, you know it immediately.
You spot it, yeah.
We, in our culture, you know, we're building the city of man, Augustine called it.
Right.
And boy, if we pass enough laws, if we regulate enough things, everything's going to be great.
Yeah.
If nobody's going to be offended, everything's just going to be good. You know, we're just going to go about our lives. We're making a counterfeit paradise. This is not the paradise that God promises us.
Right.
We're trying to make a man-made paradise.
Right.
And, of course, you know, if you have the inconvenience of a pregnancy that you don't want, you can take care of that.
Yeah.
And if you want, you know, to marry whoever or several whoevers or whatever, I mean, you could, hey, as long as I'm in a counterfeit paradise, I can do whatever I want.
Right. You know, the Pharisees questioned Jesus about the law of divorce that Moses issued.
Exactly.
He said that because that was because of the hardness of your heart.
Exactly.
That wasn't God's plan.
Exactly.
So just because something becomes the norm doesn't mean that it was, that's a clear example that that is not part of God's plan. But the people rebelled.
Yes.
And they set it up anyway.
Yes. And now, as we've been saying, you have the church becoming more like the world rather than the world like the church.
Yeah.
So you have people in the pulpit saying, well, we want to get along with everyone and we don't want to jeopardize our tax exempt status and we don't want to get people upset and we don't want people to leave if we talk about something that's controversial. So maybe we should just go back to Jesus loves me. I love him. Let's sing another song and go home.
Jesus loves me, this I know, because the Bible.
Yeah. And this is about where a lot of churches want to be.
And, you know, does the pastor want that big donor to leave?
Yeah, exactly.
If you're preaching, you know, what's controlling what you're talking about? Is it the Holy Spirit and the Word of God that's delivering the message?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it the guy in the front pew who's got the big checkbook
mm-hmm.
and doesn't want you to talk about it
mm-hmm.
because he'll get up and leave?
Yeah.
Well, you know what? God will bless you 1,000-fold
mm-hmm.
for preaching the truth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He'll make up for that guy.
That's right.
Or that person.
That's right.
I shouldn't just blame God.
And if there's 1,000 if there's 1,000 people there and 900 of them leave, you're going to have a more powerful church.
Exactly.
And that's how it is.
God will replenish it.
That's right. And people, you know, you have to present Christ to the world. You have to present the truth. You have to present the gospel to the world. We don't just talk about Jesus as a philosopher and, well, maybe he, you know, at that time, you know, he thought this. But if he was here now, he wouldn't think that. He would think what we're doing is okay. Mm-hmm. 'Cause after all, you know, 2,000 years has gone by.
Yeah.
So if he was here now, he wouldn't think like he was thinking then.
We're so much farther advanced.
Yes, he lived in a primitive time. You know, they were primitive people. Look at, he was with all these old smelly fishermen. They didn't even have internet or they didn't even have cell phones. But if he was here now, man, he'd have his cell phone. He'd have a web page. He'd have, you know, he'd be on TV saying, hey, everything's cool. If you want to follow me, hey, it's great. But if you want to follow all these other guys, hey, that's okay too.
Yeah.
Because after all, everything's good. I love everybody. And that's a lot of what's being done now. It's a lukewarm, ankle-deep theology, ankle-deep salvation message. So when people come, you know, I'm thinking as I'm saying this, in I think it's chapter 12, where these Greeks come to Philip and say, we want to see Jesus. And he's like, whoa, they want to see, wait a minute, you guys are Greeks and you want to see Jesus? I got to check on that. You know, but the thing is, if people come to us and say, we want to see Jesus, what are we going to show them? What are we going to tell them? Are we going to say, Jesus was a really good teacher and he wants us to like everybody and he wants us to just kind of be cool, be mellow, be nice, you know, be kind of a nice person who takes care of everybody and doesn't cause any trouble. Sure, he wants you to be nice and he wants you to help and he wants you to, but that's not the entirety of the gospel. We got to show Jesus as salvation and as the only way to salvation. And when people come and say, they don't really say we want to see Jesus, but they may come and say, hey, we want to know what's with you. We want to know why you're like you are. We want to know why this church is like this. You know, we have to direct them to turn their gaze toward him, to turn their attention toward him, not give them some mamby-pamby intellectual thing, because this is the only way to salvation, and you need to introduce people to him.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes back the same way as the bronze serpent in the wilderness.
Yes.
You got to go look at that serpent or you're going to die.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to die from the poison. You got the poison of sin. You got to go to the cross and you got to look at the cross.
Exactly.
It's not a matter of, hey, I'm too busy to look at the cross because I'm being nice to everybody and I'm tiptoeing through the tulips and we're just having a nice time over here. You have to go look at the cross
mm-hmm.
in order to be saved, as the only way to be saved. And this is the intensity of it that evangelization is built around.
Yes.
Because people don't know that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That's been lost in so many places.
Right.
And in so many countries that have become post-Christian and in complicated scientific societies like ours, this mm-hmm. sounds like a bunch of mumbo jumbo.
Right.
That sounds ridiculous. We're way past that.
Well, anyone who preaches in like foreign countries or third world countries mm-hmm. will tell you that they are more open to receive
absolutely.
The gospel because they're not burdened down with all these possessions.
Absolutely. I tell you, my wife and I go into garbage dumps in Mexico City
mm-hmm.
and there's people in there that are believers and you say, how you doing? The guy says, oh, we're blessed. And you feel like saying, blessed? Dude, you live in a garbage dump.
Exactly.
But they look at it as they're blessed.
Yeah.
They don't care. They don't have all the stuff.
Yeah. They've got Jesus.
Paul Weber's back.
Ooh.
He's always singing
a song.
Anyway, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be right back.
Listening to the Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to the Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. Now, how cool is that song?
Oh, that's an awesome
song.
Talk
about the bridal paradigm.
That is like my favorite song ever.
And you do a great job singing it.
Thank you.
I must say. That's from the Song of Songs, Chapter 2. If you go on the website, under teachings, you'll find an audio teaching from Songs, Chapter 2, which is really good.
And that's off of Lion of Judah.
Woo!
The CD.
That's right.
Paul Wilbur, Lion of Judah CD. Go to wilburministries.com.
Yes, buy everything.
Order Lion of Judah.
Yeah. Order like couple of CDs, then after you've listened to them for a while, then you'll go on and order the rest of them.
Ask for the family pack. You can give them all your family. If you call down there and ask for the family pack, yeah, they won't know what you're talking about.
Tell them Uncle Phil sent you.
Yeah, tell them Uncle Phil sent you to ask for the family pack, and Nathan will know who you're talking about.
Yeah. No, we've been very honored to know him as a friend, and we feel that, you know, he's more than just somebody you see once in a while when you're doing ministry somewhere.
Yeah.
And Stephen and I have both had a lot of fun experiences with him.
Yeah.
Having pizza party in hotel lobbies and recording radio shows in hotel rooms. It's really a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. So evangelization, boy, we're already in the last part. So we have to show Jesus to everyone because he has to be contemplated as the only Savior. This is a decision everybody has to make. You can't be lukewarm. Well, you know, Jesus, I can, you know, kind of take him or leave him. You know, he's all right. You know, you can't. Jesus is not someone that you can say, well, he's all right. You either accept him or you don't accept him. And as he said, if you believe in the Son of Man, you'll be saved. If you reject the Son of Man, you'll be condemned because you rejected God's only Son. And this is the key of evangelization because, as Paul writes out in First Timothy 2:5, Jesus is the only mediator between God and man. There's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. This is the plan. There's not another way. There's an intensity of the sacrifice that has to be conveyed to people because we've lost that. Because in this humanist secular world we live in, there can't be one way for anything because we're used to so many choices and so many intellectual approaches to things.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention, and I shouldn't even say intellectual, there's also a dumbing down that's going on where nobody knows anything. I mean, they all know who's on American Idol, but nobody has a clue what the gospel is all about.
Right, right. Yeah, we know all the reality shows, but we don't know the truth about who Jesus Christ is. You know, as you were talking about John 12, and this is in verse 20 where it says, "Now there were some Greeks among those who had come up to worship at the feast. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, 'Sir, we would like to see Jesus.' Philip went and told Andrew, and then Andrew and Philip went to told Jesus. Jesus answered them, 'The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Amen, amen, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains just a grain of wheat. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will preserve it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there also will my servant be. Mm-hmm. The Father will honor whoever serves me.'" And he goes on and says, you know, "Now is the time of judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. Mm-hmm. And when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw everyone to myself." He said this, indicating the kind of death he would die. So the crowd answered, "We have heard from the law that the Messiah remains forever. Then how can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Jesus said to them, "The light will be among you only a little while. Walk while you have the light, so that darkness may not overcome you. Whoever walks in the dark does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, so that you may become children of the light."
Wow. New evangelization.
New evangelization.
He's the light.
You've got to walk with the light.
Yep.
And there's a lot of people that are walking with their own wisdom.
That's right.
And as you said in Romans, Paul says, you know, their minds become dark, and they become fools.
Mm-hmm.
And they think that they're smart,
mm-hmm.
but they're not.
Right. And Jesus himself in that passage refers to the bronze serpent again. The Son of Man is lifted up.
Yeah.
In another place he says, just like Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, right, so will the Son of Man be lifted up. This is the key. You have to go look at the cross.
Mm-hmm.
And if any of you are listening and you don't have a clue what we're talking about, and you don't know anything about crosses, and you think a cross is just something that's on top of a church or that you wear around your neck, you have to understand that this is the instrument of salvation. This is the only way to the Father.
Yeah. I mean, a crucifix has the corpus of Christ on it. And to some people, they will say it's offensive. But it's the reality. Mm-hmm. It's the remembrance of what took place on Calvary. And it's God's instrument. God chose that instrument of salvation.
Mm-hmm.
And as Jesus was lifted up on that cross, he said he will draw all men to himself. Mm-hmm. Everyone has to come to the cross and look at Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And acknowledge where they're at before the Lord.
Yes.
Because he is the only way to salvation.
Mm-hmm.
And he bled and he died for my sin. He bled and died for your sin. And for everybody else who is listening.
Yeah.
And for those who are perishing, the cross is just foolishness.
Foolishness. Yeah.
But for those who are being saved, the cross is the love and mercy of God. The cross is That's salvation.
Right. That's right.
And it's the instrument that God chose to defeat the enemy.
Yes. Before the foundation of the world.
Mm-hmm.
The Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. And you have to keep this in mind amidst all the clutter and all the noise and all the stuff that's going on mm-hmm. out there, because these are things that will divert you from the truth.
Yeah.
Because you can't focus for 5 minutes on who do you think Jesus is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, most people now don't have an attention span that's more than 5 minutes.
You know, gaze upon the cross and
yes.
gaze upon the one who is pierced for your transgression.
Amen.
And do it for more than a second. Do mm-hmm. it for a minute. Do it for a few minutes. And let the love of God penetrate your heart
mm-hmm.
so that you can see Jesus for who he was and mm-hmm. who he is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was so far away from the cross when I got out of the water in Cancun, you know, I asked the Lord many times, you know, what does all this mean? And he told me, you know, I didn't recognize the shore was so far away from me. And he said, that's how far you were away from the cross. Wow. You couldn't recognize my love for you.
Yeah.
And so that's the love that God has for us is the cross in Jesus awesome. Christ.
Wow, the show's over already.
I know.
I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we just pray that the power of God, the love of God, would fill your heart, your mind, and your soul, and that you would come to know that love of God that is in Christ Jesus, who offers you the gift of salvation by the forgiveness of your sins. God bless everyone. Have a great week. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.